Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of All About Bikes. I'm Paz Chinchilla, your host for today, and with us, we have a very special guest. He is a longtime athlete with an impressive racing career, a World Cup gold medalist, and a Pivot Factory athlete, and a really good friend, Jordi Bargo.
Hello, Paz.
How's it going, Jordi?
Everything good?
Good. So, Jordi, before we start talking about your riding achievements, let's share with our audience, who is Jordi Bargo?
Just a single guy that rides bikes around the world riding for Pivot, the biggest family I ever met. Well, I don't know what to say about me. I love riding bikes. I love helping different countries in the world building bike parks like I did in so many places. I am also developing a lot of stuff, helping to develop the bikes with us. For example, Cam Brothers, Mansur, Cas, well, so many brands that I'm involved, not just riding, developing the product. So basically, that's me 24 hours a day.
Where is your hometown? Where are you located?
I am half an hour from Barcelona City, which for me it's insane because I have the sea, which I'm not so much fun, but I have an amazing mountains around my house for go with our Bolt or a cross-country bike, enduro. Well, I think it's a paradise. I invited you many times. You didn't want to come yet, but it's a
I will. I promise. Maybe this year Pivot will send me there.
Okay.
Do some testing or some just having fun and sharing some of your home paradise.
Yeah, when you want.
You said you've been working with a lot of sponsored and developing brands. Give us an example of like a company you work with and a little bit of things that you do with them.
Okay. I could say Pivot, but this is our family. So I'm going to speak about Cam Brothers, which is the longest partnership I ever had. So over 20 years riding for them since 2013, it started with a new CEO, which is Gaspare. Now he's riding our bikes as well. He's one of my best friends, and since I met him, I develop almost everything for them. I start with the new Highline dropper post, also the carbon synthesis wheels. I did all testing with them since 2018. Everything is coming from Cram Brothers, the new child pedals, the new boy shoes that they just launched. Well, I had it for over a year testing. Somehow the other athletes in the World Cup as well, they use the products, but who is in touch with them all the time, with Europe in Italy and with America and with Andy, the product manager, it's me. So yeah, I'm so proud to see a lot of people riding, especially our pedals. So yeah, when my friends ride that today, I was doing this. And I have some photos like, hey, see, I got it 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and they just launched it now. Yeah, so that's cool.
That is really, really, really cool. And you also said that you built some tracks. Mm-hmm. Is that the one that you built in Colombia?
In Colombia, I make two bike parks. One in Bogota, in the middle of the city. Really in the middle of the city. I don't know exactly the location, but it's on the middle. Then I built one near Tumanzur, which is my sponsor of clothing. I also did in Sochi. I did in Bulgaria. So many. I did in Azores, in Canary Island. Well, so many spots.
Are there gravity bike parks or like dirt jumps? What kind of tracks?
It's more like enduro, some airlines, downhill tracks. Well, in Bulgaria, they have everything, even a family trail. It's a resort 1 hour from Sofia. And that is insane. There's like, we have like 15 trials, all different levels. They do European races. It's really good. It's really good. And it's cheap to go there. It's easy to get there. And there is plenty of trials. It's really good.
That's so fun. Travel all over the world building trails and riding bikes. That's a very exciting job you have.
Yeah.
So it's pretty rad that you've done all this on a bike, but you've also had a lot of television appearances all around the world. How is that lifestyle, and how is like being on television benefits your career or your sponsors?
Well, yeah, I did a lot of things, but the for me, the most important thing is that I never change. I asked my friends so many times, and because people change a lot. When for me, it's super cool that I go, well, not here where I live, but in Barcelona, and nobody knows me. It's amazing. Because I have some friends that they are basket players or football players. They cannot go on a street. So it's crazy. But I did a documentary for BBC Channel. It was insane. So many millions of views. I did RTV Discovery so many years. Since 2012, I'm working with Discovery. I am doing something with ESPN. And we will have at the end of this season something that I already spoke with Chris and Brian, who has the permission, because we want to do kind of not a reality, but we want to support some young talent from South America. So we will do different, I think I never told you that, but we will do like three different training camps and then one final in Colombia. So we will involve our distributors, some of our distributors, the main ones like Argentina, Ecuador, and some that I'm still talking because we need three. And we will choose some of these young kids to go to Colombia and live in ESPN, in ESPN2. We will choose one which is going to have our bike with the Cram Brothers, Kaz, Mansoor, Triptychol support for 2025. And we will have three or four programs for ESPN live, which is super amazing, prime time. That costs a lot of money. It's not just about the money. For me, it's not about the money. It's for me, it's about to help, to enjoy, and make everyone around me, my sponsors, happy, which I know that everyone in Peabody is super happy, so that's enough.
I mean, those social programs are add a lot of value to all the brands, and having as that connecting piece, it's really, really cool, especially doing it outside of the U.S. I mean, we've been super focused on our brand for the U.S. in many, many years, but like expanding it and doing these programs outside is really, really cool, and I really appreciate it. So let's talk about 2023. You had a really busy racing schedule. I had a lot of podium finishes. You were third at the Masters Downhill World Champs in Argentina, third at the European Downhill Champs. You podium in all E-Enduro UCI World Cups, top spot in France. You got first place and you won the overall series. That's a very impressive 2023. Mm-hmm. Out of all these races, which one did you enjoy the most?
I don't know what to say. Honestly, it's so hard to win a World Cup. It's my best friend David Vasquez on the past won four downhill World Cups, which is the Spanish speaking guy which wants more and was so close to win a lot more. But we talk about it. When I won in Ludeville, I thought that I would be more excited. I don't know. The only thing I told Chris is I remove a bag of 50 kilos of rocks in my bag. Because I've been so many times so close, in downhill especially. But I was like normal. I was so happy because when Chris saw it, wrote me, and he said, we made it. It was so cool because any people that is not close to us, like you, Kellen, well, all the people in Peabody didn't know how hard it was. And at the beginning of the World Cups, I couldn't win because we didn't have what I need to have. So when Chris got me that, we won, we proved it. And I won all the power stages with this new bike. So it was a big difference, big step. But honestly, I'm looking for a 2024 and all in the top spot. I know it's hard, but this is my main goal. I've been training like never in my life. I have, I don't know in miles, but probably 2,500 miles already in this 2024. And I feel super strong. So I'm really looking to win because last year, as you said, 13 Masters World Champ, but I rode all my final with no chain. And I lost the world champs for 1 second and a half. So
yeah. So that kind of goes to my next question, because like all athletes go through this. And do you think that race was the most challenging of the season?
No, it was working perfect. No, honestly, I spoke with Bruni. Bruni is living close to my house and he won 5 times the world champs. So he deal with the pressure really well. He said to me, do like you already won. And it's what I did. I went there knowing that I could make it. I write every single training, semifinal, like I won. And when I lost the chain, for 1 second, I thought, okay, it's over. But I was training that in winter in my house, like flat tires, my nephew and friends in front for the dust, no chain. So I was prepared for that. Just was some parts that was really flat and my bike was not rolling. But honestly, when I came down, I thought that, okay, I'm really far from the first. But actually, the guy that won from US was 5 seconds slower than my semifinal. And me, I was only one and a half slower than him. And I remember really well because my filmmaker was like, what the fuck? Why you didn't pedal? Sorry for the word. And I said, man, did you see that I have no chain? But the guy from the US, he was not even smiling one time, not even on the podium because he knew it. And for me, it was hard because I was so close the last 3 years. And I always something happened that it was so weird what happened. And I don't know. I'm really looking for Australia in May. I'm working so hard for that. No excuses. I hope that everyone has a good run, that if I want it because I deserve it, not because some people crash or fail. Because I will feel bad to win like that. But it's crazy because the guy that beat me in Argentina, the day before, he felt so bad on the hotel. And it was me helping him with some pills and stuff. And I was not like, okay, you know how is this world? And for sure, there will be people saying, okay, I'm not going to help. But I was helping him. And then he beat me. That's life, you know what I mean? But yeah, so many times, sorry. And even in the hotel, I'm sorry. And I was like, okay, that's racing. But I did some amazing run, really, because with no chain was good. But I'm really looking to win this year, really.
Yeah. I mean, a third place, it's still a really good spot. I know you were going for that first place, and if you didn't had dropped that change, you would have achieved that. But it's not surprising that your hard work and experience are still producing amazing results. What keeps your competitive fire going, and what do you like most about racing?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, for me, it's like I go so many nights to sleep very late, like sometimes because of you guys or Clan Brothers or even the Colombian guys. But I wake up when I feel that I have to wake up. I don't have alarm. And then I wake up and I go training. Well, doing is not training. It's doing my job because I go riding, but I'm testing some tires from Schwalbe, our new motors or whatever, you know. But I enjoy it so much. Every day I feel so lucky that I'm doing what I'm doing. But about racing, I don't know. I think I have this on my genes because I could just stay with you and just going some events, see other, whatever, do like training camps or demo, whatever. But I feel that I need racing. I don't know.
It's part of you.
Yeah. I'm so competitive in everything. In everything, really. And I thought that because people ask me, oh, when are you going to stop? And I thought, okay, when I won the World Cup or something, but I'm not. I want to go for this year again. And it's not just me. You have another example, even on a more high level than me, way much more. It's Greg Minard. He's only 4 years younger than me, but he's the same. He could stop. He achievement absolutely everything, but he's still fighting with all the 20-year-old guys to win. Was Steve Peters well? Soon will be Bernard the same thing, and he's there still and doing the best results right now. So I think experience give you a plus compared with the young people that knows how to really push or when you need to slow down. But you need to train. That nothing comes for free. It's not like, okay, I'm not training, I'm good. Nah, you have to train in. But probably you train better, you know, than before, not doing too much or doing, like, picking really well what you have to do, the kind of trainings. And that's what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm training a lot, but I enjoy so much. I just came now from 60 kilometers today. The rain catch me, but I don't care. After that, I will go to make CrossFit, and I don't know. I enjoyed so much doing what I do, so I don't know when I'm going to stop, but I don't think it's soon.
Yeah, that's good. I hope you have a few more years on you. Yeah, I think you do. Do you prepare differently if you're like race or training for a regular downhill enduro race or an e-bike? Is there a different training for it?
Now, the thing this year, it's very crazy because in 1 week I have the first, well, me and others has the first enduro World Cup in Finale Ligure. But at the same weekend, I have to fly to Australia because we have the World Champs the week after, well, 3 days after. For me, it's no problem to fly because I will sleep all the time. So no jet lag or no excuses at all. I know everyone will have been training, but that's fine. I have some videos from the track, so easy enough. But the cool thing from the e-bike and downhill is that I can, I don't know, our, at least for our bike, it's pretty similar to our Shuttle LT than my Phoenix. I feel the same. I has not so different driving or the way I ride. And also helps me a lot, the e-bike, because our Phoenix is super light. So when I, like yesterday, I did enduro and then I did downhill, I felt so good, so fast. Also, I have golfer rotors like we have in our Shuttle. And I have it on the downhill, and then you can break late. It's crazy. So it helps me both. It's totally different than normal enduro because I'm riding a lot of miles every day. So I would say it's different, the training, but e-bike. My friend says, we have an e-bike, we go on an e-bike, but you training on an e-bike. And it's true. I'm training on a really low help assistance. But I do so much miles, suffering a lot. And when I go down, I switch off totally the bike. So I don't use much the help, but it's good. Our bike is insane. It's really, really fun. So it helped me both to training. So, yeah.
Is there anything that makes racing e-bikes more challenging or different while you're on course, like when you're riding, different than like regular enduro?
I think I was talking with Matt in Italy, because we spend time together, but we have different stages, so we cannot train together. But we talk about it because we had like a stage that was a big uphill. And he told me that people was dying there. So because it was like probably 2 minutes climbing, but really climbing. And for them was really hard. So we took them a lot of time there. But when you go on that level, riding e-bike is not easy because in US, you have 32 kilometers, I don't know, in miles. But in Europe, we have 25. So it's 7 kilometers. It's 7 kilometers speed different. So it's a lot. And today, for example, if I could ride at 32, probably I will not catch the rain. But anyways, what I want to say is that we ride over 25 all the time. So you need to push really hard. I mean, if you cruise on the bike, you don't feel it. But when you push in flat or little uphill or down, all the time you are over 25. So you're carrying a lot of weight on the e-bike. So it's hard. Also, you have to brake before the turns because of the weight. So you need to learn how to drive an e-bike. Last year, for example, when I ride my first Enduro World Cup, which I finished second, probably I did 200 kilometers or less in our Shuttle before the race. Now, I have so many. I have thousands of them. So it will be another game. But yeah, it's different. It's totally different. It's totally different.
Well, deep diving more into e-bikes, you were running the Shimano EPA motor in the Shuttle LT and recently changed the EPA to 1. Did you notice a big difference as soon as you rode it?
Yeah, it is. I can say something very funny. I did the first 2 World Cups with, let's say, with the all motor. And it was really hard for me because we know we have a super amazing bike because it is our bike. For me, is the best. It's not because I ride it. It's because the looping, the system, the frame, everything is so high quality. We don't have anything cheap in our bike. All is really amazing. And also, I'm so lucky that at least since the first day let me use my frame protectors to make it cooler without cover anything in our bike. So I got the permission. So I have my own style, let's say, on the bike that make it look even more cooler. But back on the motor, it was frustrating because I lost the first two Enduro World Cups on the power stages. It was impossible. It was impossible. I push as hard as I can, and so I had to push the bike up. So when Chris, we met at Eurobike, between the race, I fly to Eurobike and then I back, and Chris said to me, I'm going to get you the new motor. And he did, on time, 1 week before the Ludo Bill, and it was a big difference. I won this race, I won all stages, and since that, I won all power stages with our new motor in our Shuttle LT. But the funny thing is that when I get it, the first day, I go riding, and my bike was not working. And I call Chris, and I call Ian, hey, the bike is not working, what's going on? I even crashed. And it was funny because Shimano sent us the motor with the 27-inch wheels.
Wheels.
Yeah. So we didn't know because I just put the motor and go for a ride. And my nephew was in one of my other e-bikes, and I was like full gas at 20 and he was at 25. So I said, something is not working. So then we changed it to 29 wheels, and then it's when I felt the difference. But the first time was crazy. It's like, oh my God, it's even worse than the other one. But no. But it's big difference. It's a big, big difference. And you can play a lot because now you have 8 modes to play on the bike. So really you can challenge yourself. If you are tired, you just go on like 6, 7, 8, whatever. But normally I'm riding 2 or 3, which I can do. I did 74 kilometers, I don't know in miles, but 5 hours on a bike and still two bars. So I'm totally sure I would do 100 kilometers on this bike with a lot of climbing also, because my house is a lot of climbing. I save all my profiles, and some of the guys in Pivot, like Brian, Chris, Ian, Kellen even, I send the pictures so they know how much we can do on that bike. So yeah, it's a big difference between the old motor and this one.
So that's the fine tuning on the EP801. It's which one do you prefer more, that fine tuning or the basic mode for racing?
Well, I'm not going to say what we did for racing, because I think this was a long journey of work with Ian, our engineer, and it was hard to find what we need to compete with the Bosch guys or Polini guys as a really amazing engine. But we got it. I'm super happy with the modes we have for the racing. But I'm not training with this mode. I'm training with a regular one, I think we talked about, which give you and deliver you so much power. I don't think you need more for riding for a normal customer or even for advanced customer, because now it delivers a lot of power. And if they use our bike and they do big climbs, they will realize that they need to put the weight quite in front, because it delivers so much power at the beginning that if you are back,
Too far back,
the bike is like going like this on the air, like doing a wheelie. So they will see a big difference between the old motor and that, but big one.
That's really cool. And seeing your results, right? Like what was happening with the old motor and how racing changed.
Well, I can tell you the first power stages, I was 20 seconds behind the first guy, which that the most impressive thing is that people think, okay, pro masters, whatever, open, I'm riding with guys who's 15 years younger than me. And even the guy that wins that races, the two first Enduro World Cups, did the overall scratch in the power stages between Barel and all these guys. So it was crazy because they checked the times, and the faster time was the guy that beats me. It was not Barel or my friends from Portugal or the guys from Yeti. No. It was these guys. And it was insane. So it was different because on Ludobil, I beat them for, I think, was half a second. And in France, in Châtel, was the same. And it changed a lot. To see yourself like only like second or first second, and then 20. Fuck. He was quiet. And I was like riding Chris and said, I'm sorry, but I cannot do anything in the power stage. I do my best. I'm training, but bike has no power. It does. I saw the guys starting full gas and me. There was no chance. And even was worse that the boost was helping me less than the tribe. Because boost on the whole motor was giving you a little power, but then finished. So it was hard. Now it doesn't happen anymore. So now it's way better. I've been training a lot. I have really heavy uphills, like I'm training for power stage. And I'm not using 6, 7, or 8 because with 4 and 5, if you have a high cadence, give you a lot better support, like more progressive, to climb. So I like it. As soon as you push and stand up on the bike, it works better than if you sit on the bike. Because what I said, you sit on the bike in these steep uphills, you are like a passenger because your weight is on the bike is going like this. So I've been learning from some friends of me that have been riding the Enduro World Cups in Evac since the beginning. And they helped me, they told me some tips, and I apply on that tips, and it's really good. So I'm working on that. I do some kind of training on CrossFit that is moving the weight like we move the bike, so it helps me as well. So yeah, all
yeah. I mean, racing, it's not just training on a bike. Like, you have to do some more upper strength, and especially on a heavy bike like an e-bike.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I was totally like failing amateur because I go to the first Enduro World Cup and I didn't walk. So I didn't see the stages, only on the one run training, one run racing. That's it. Okay, so I was like, okay, I'm going to buy some boots, some sticks, and I'm going to walk. So I did walk, and the next day I couldn't even walk because we walked 25Ks. And it was so hard because I was not used to that.
Yes.
So I felt like so tired. Then I went to Eurobike in between and I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. So it was a process. I learned every stage and the result was insane because in every single stage or race I learned. So now I'm prepared for this season really well. I'm hiking as well at home to the top of the mountains. I'm running down. So I'm working in everything to make everything easy in the process on the racing.
What do you prefer to race? Analog bikes or e-bikes? Which ones are more fun?
I think both are fun. I won some enduro, let's say, normal enduro, because for me when people start putting names and muscular, whatever, man, bike and e-bike, that's it. It's so simple.
Yep.
But anyways, I think enduro is what we did all life.
Yep.
Because when at the beginning when I start, for whatever Chris can say about it as well, when we were riding to the downhill, we were climbing same bike and going down. So for me, this was enduro. Then they put the target enduro. But yeah, I it's a little bit different. First, because you get more tired when you climb on a normal bike for sure. But then also when you go down, it's harder on an e-bike because one thing is going down, but the other is pushing down. It's totally different. When I ride with my friends here, all they has an e-bike and they go on boost and I'm going 2 or 3. So I'm training and they just, whatever, they cruise up. But when we go down, they feel it. They get tired. They need to stop. It's so heavy to move the bike. And yeah, for me, I'm used to that. It was hard. It's not easy, but I do like 20, 25 minutes down from the top of my house, full gas down, and I enjoy it so much. It's crazy. Doesn't matter if it's raining or sunny or whatever, I enjoy it. So it's different, but I do both because now we have the new Switchblade. I use it quite a lot as well too, and it's very fun, but it's different. The speed is totally different because when you climb and you climb so slow, even you are so strong, but when you go down, it's different. It gives better the speed than an e-bike because when you are over 25, it's like slow you down the engine.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, doesn't matter which bike you have, you just have to enjoy. But I use all of them. So when Brian was at home, like in January that he was at home, and he said, how many bikes do you have? I said, well, you see, I'm not going to say how many, but And he was like, you use all of them? And I said, yes, I do. It's true. I use all, like I was using the two balls, the cross country and the match four right now, the last month, doing a lot of miles on it. And now I switch more like Firebird, Switchblade, Shadow Cat in my house, the Point, and of course the Shuttle LT, like SL and the Phoenix. That's what I'm using right now.
That's pretty cool that even though you're racing downhill and enduro, you also get on a gravel bike, you also get a cross-country bike, you like go through all the lineup to prepare for your races. That's pretty cool.
Everyone does it. And who doesn't say doesn't do it is a liar.
Or it's not training.
because for example, Bernard do it, Matt do it, Ed do it, Morgans do it. Everybody, if you want to be in shape, you need to have endurance. You need to do sprints. Bruni, I see, he's behind my house and I see him on the road bike all the time. Everybody needs to do it. When people says, no, I'm just training enduro and downhill. That's not true. And even CrossFit or gym, Pilates, swimming, everyone is doing so many things because everything helps you to racing. Everything.
That's cool. That's cool. So what's the first race of the season? Because it's coming. It's
Sea Otter. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So do you podium last year at Sea Otter?
No, I the last 2 years I was not there because I had an Argentina, the world champs. The year before I won the dual and the downhill.
That's the one I remember.
I won 4 times there. But last 2 years I couldn't go because we had in Argentina the same dates. So the plan for this year is downhill and enduro. So I will do these both. Because it's the ones I have more space between. Because the other is crazy. The schedule there is insane. You finish one discipline and you have to go to another one.
Yep.
So I will do the enduro, which I never did. I don't know if I'm going to use yet. I need to speak with Chris what he wants. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ride with the Firebird for sure, the downhill. And let's see in the enduro. But yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, I think the Firebird's a good one for the downhill because it's not...
Yeah,
this is like, very steep.
No, it's not steep. It has some uphills as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it's good. It's going to be good if it's not raining.
Yep. Well,
I just wanted to say now in California, it's raining all the time.
Yes, it's been raining quite a bit in California. But hopefully by April, I mean, Sea Otter weather is always been super funny. It's kind of cold and foggy in the morning and sunny and gorgeous in the afternoon. So hopefully you guys will have an amazing time and hopefully you get great results. And I am confident you will achieve all your goals this year. Your hard working and hard training will pay off. Thanks so much for being here with us. Is there anything else you want to share?
Not so much. I mean, we said quite a lot. I don't know. I'm here to help. I'm so proud and so thankful to be in Pivot since the day one. Honestly, it's like a family. You are a very good friend of me. I mean, I go there. I don't remember all the names, but I'm so welcome every time I come. Everyone is super nice to me. And I feel like home when I come there. I'm super, super happy. And yeah, I just want to say one more time thanks to Chris to let me be part of this family and not also Brian. They're all so cool with me. I feel super good on this company.
That's great to hear. Thanks so much for all this time that you spent today talking to us about your career and your life and all the experience you had during 2023. We're really happy to have you as a member of the Pivot family. That feeling of belonging is really cool. And getting to know you over the past couple of years has been really cool. I think that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening and stay tuned to more episodes of All About Bikes.